Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to Hour 1.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's study. John's Gospel, Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 5, The Very Christ. He warned the world hated him first, indeed it did. As the battle heats up, those who are witnessing his work say, indeed, this is the very Christ. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 28th day of June, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Numbers chapter 22, verse 2 through chapter 25, verse 9. Micah chapter 5, verse 6 through chapter 6, verse 8. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 71. By going to warn-usa.com, and gethealthyyoungliving.com, you can read the featured post by the Watchman. This week we have Lunatics, Nutcases, Politics, and America. Nutcase politics, anyone? Do not partake of these people. Be not like them, but be sure to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Words taken from Paul the Apostle's Epistle to the Ephesians. Preparing the deliberate deception of that wicked one. The lawlessness, mystery of iniquity, preparing the way for deliberate deception and the denial of that wicked one. Today in America, we find a deliberate deception along with those who have a denial of that very same deception. And you can read those articles and listen to the latest shows by going to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and also on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for our first hour. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good. Can't believe it's already the end of June. That's shocking.
Yes, and we're already at Thursday.
Yay.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it goes by fast,
man. It does.
And I've been so busy on the websites this week, it just went by. And then today, of course, you know, they had that shooting in that newspaper office.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I hate seeing that stuff go on.
Yeah. So, at any rate, it's hard to say, especially when you got communists that are winning in the New York primary, you know, against dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, and she, you know, did the power salute for communism, you know, that's the clenched fist, and you cross your arms like the scythe and the cutter, you know, and communists. So when you look at communist China, that's why they do that. But at any rate, it's well known in South American things, you know, the rebellious down there, the communists and the socialists. And there are communists down in South America. There's a lot of communists. There's a lot of socialists. And guess what? Most of the people down, a lot of the people down there want to flood into America because we're not communists and we're not socialists.
Yeah.
And then we get some of these dyed-in-the-wool morons that come up here to live and decide they want to make America, you know, into socialists and communists like Bernie Sanders. But at any rate, you know, if there is any doubt that you're going to lose America, you're going to lose America if you don't stand up like our forefathers did. And, you know, it's just one of those things now. We're so divided and so much hate, you know, and the race baiting, you know, actually began under Obama. You remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the bottom line of it is that it's, you know, truly is a mess, you know. But, you know, the good news of it is while there's chaos in the world, chaos in America, we can have peace in God through Christ.
Amen.
And I don't allow these people to rule my emotions. I don't allow them to, you know, and I get excited sometimes and I'll talk about stuff, but my daily life, it's rooted and grounded in the Lord. I look to Him. I make it a conscious effort to do that. I don't allow them to determine my whole week or ruin my whole day or things like that. And I don't live and die by what Trump says. I don't live and die by what Maxine Waters saying. I don't live and die by what that young communist gal that got elected in New York says. You know, just bottom line, you know. And the world is going to be in rebellion against the Lord, and you know, and they're going to be in rebellion against Christianity even more than it is now.
Oh, yes, it will.
So, you know, you better hang on to your seats. It's going to be one of those kind of rides. But if you've been following us on our news shows, then you know very well that, you know, there's miracles and signs and wonders that actually get done.
Yeah, thank God. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, oh, woe is me, but we do see the move of God and from firsthand testimony. So, you know, hey, you know, you don't have a doctor. You know, we have you know, testimonies on our shows of people that, you know, saw miraculous deliverances from their enemies, all kinds of things.
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, it's time for the church in America to wake up and throw off the sluggishness and decide, you know, we can make it through this. And even if we do stand up for Him and are counted as martyrs, then so be it. He'll give us strength. I call that the martyr's anointing.
Yes.
And there is an anointing. There's anointing for everything from God, and there is an anointing of martyrship. And that's not just deciding to go out and get yourself killed. That's stupidity. But there is anointing of martyrship. And when that is in effect, you don't go rushing off just to get murdered and killed and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So at any rate, what else is happening around? We did our news show last night, covered a lot of stuff, but...
Did we cover that Kennedy was retiring from the Supreme Court?
I think we talked a little bit about it, but...
Yeah, that could have a major impact for Christians, you know, if they get someone else that will be more conservative and not liberal.
Well, you know, I remember when Obama was in there, and I remember conservatives saying the very things that the liberals are saying today because of Trump. Yeah, the shoe is on the other foot.
Yep.
This is like some kind of chess game, and, you know, the Democrats took the first 8 years. Now we're working in this game here, and it's going bad for them. So they think, you know, they're even coming out and saying all hope is lost now that Kennedy is retiring. And so they're just all kinds of, you know, the emotions are really,
yeah,
really, really high. People need to get off this train, you know.
Oh, they do.
This is ridiculous. You know, and these people get so worked up, and they get worked up on social media and the fact that the internet is private and it's a thing unto itself. And that's and I've said before, you know, that this media, you know, we use the technology to get the word around the world, to reach people around the world, but it's just technology. It's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It is not to replace you or anybody you know. You know, this computer is asexual. This computer is amoral. This computer is ahuman. That is, you can make it into a human-like if you want to. You can have tech there. You can do all kinds of things. It's whatever you put into it. You can put into it sexual stuff, so it'll be asexual, asexual, in a particular kind. You can do anything in this technology. That's why people like it. But it is totally immoral in one sense and moral in the other. But it is really amoral. It is neither moral nor immoral, but there are moral and immoral things on it. And most of the stuff, well, let's say all the stuff, a computer can only do what we program it to do. And even when we get to the point when a computer can program itself, when a computer is like what they're doing in AI, still in the original analysis, it was a human that created the AI and put them together for them to be able to learn. So even with that little bit of human help, that computer, that robot, will never be perfect, but it'll always be infected with the human genome that is known as sin in some respect or another. It will not be perfect. There never will be a perfect machine. But it will be able to make decisions that will scare the living daylights out of you, thinking that it is making a moral and righteous decision when it isn't. This is the hell that we have scientists trying to bring upon the earth. God help us.
Yeah. Amen.
And we use
help.
We use the computers for a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of resources, and you use your smartphones, but folks, you need to get out of the house. And you need to understand that, you know, you can get so worked up. And you need to just make a decision. I'm not going to get worked up like that. But that's, you know, that guy that shot that the people in that newspaper, I'll bet you a dime to donut he belonged to groups online. You know, they encourage each other in evil. They get in there and they live in their own little worlds, their own little bubble online. And, you know, this is how ISIS got people to join them. Because they glorified it online. They got girls to join up and become their wives, to bear them babies. They got guys to join to help them fight. This is what it's like. You got to wake up and smell the proverbial roses.
That's right.
So at any rate, we are going to be talking about John. We're still in John. We're in Hebrews tomorrow night. And go on over to Warren USA, warren-usa.com. We've been working on it for some time, web work and doing database, going through databases and taking care of a lot of issues and a lot of stuff that we're doing. And we've got a whole new lineup and links of specialty programs and teaching series. And I just posted a new playlist series of our Acts of the Apostles, which is 27 videos. It's actually a little over 27 hours long, and you can sit there and start the playlist and play it for 27 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's in conjunction with our high-def website, you know, section over on Vimeo. And we've got over 1,100, and I think it's 1,163 videos there. And so, in an update on Real Video, they said that they're behind. The Health Ranger sending out the emails today, and it wasn't from their main group from the website itself, because they're the ones that contacted me originally. But they just apparently just sent this out And that is that it is behind schedule, so I haven't had a chance to follow up anymore. But that doesn't surprise me. It takes a lot of work to get things done. And they had a lot of features they want to put on it, and they can't get them all on it. And that's because it takes time to get the bugs out. And, you know, it can take up to 2 years to be in the beta stage, you know. It takes a long time. Matter of fact, all of this with Windows 10, they sent it out, but it was in beta. They should have told everybody it was in beta stage, because there's a lot of problems with it, the first one that came out. Now it's getting better, but it is still causing some problems, and there's a lot of other programs are still old, and they cause problems. So it's really a tricky thing.
Oh, it is, with the stuff evolving every day, the technology.
It is, and just in the script, you know, one of the reasons we had to clean the database is because we were using Flash video a long, long time ago, and everybody decided there was a time that Microsoft, Google, and Firefox came together, the three browsers, because Edge, they were, Microsoft was working on Edge, and Google was involved, and of course Firefox was working on a new browser, and so they got together and decided that they would do away with Flash, and so it really began the end for Flash. It had been coming for a long time, so we had a lot of embeds that were Flash that are just not there anymore. So we had to fix all that.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Very time consuming.
It is, because a lot of our posts have both a video and a post on it. And then, of course, we were involved in a company, a new startup called Republish, that worked real well for a long time, but I decided to get off of it, and because they went, actually I got off of it before they did. They later, about 6 months to a year later, went belly up. They quit.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, it was a good idea, but it wasn't something we were going to do. I just got tired of it, and I will probably never do anything like that again. I might keep a news feed, but our work is not in the news business. We talk about certain kinds of news and things, but we're not going to. You know, you've got Breitbart, and you've got WorldNet Daily, and you've got Fox, and you got CNN, and you got CBS, and you got all the others.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need me. Plus, you got thousands and thousands of blogs.
It's crazy, all the stuff out there.
It is. It's just absolutely crazy. But the last we knew, how many were killed in that shooting?
Five.
I had read somewhere where he came up and shot right through the window.
Good grief.
I don't know. You know, people.
Why are they attacking the newspapers anyway?
Well, according to one guy, it was Trump's fault. Of course, everything's Trump's fault.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
You know, but Maxine Waters just the other day called out to go after him.
Yeah, yeah, that's horrible.
I don't know what kind of a newspaper this was. I don't know whether it was liberal, whether it was conservative, whether they loved Trump, hated Trump. I have no idea. Have no idea at all.
Boy, that wind is really kicking up out there.
Well, it's got a storm it's bringing in, isn't it? Tomorrow it's
going
to be cooler.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, Friday it
was supposed to
be cooler. Oh, yeah, it was
supposed to be cooler, but I didn't know a storm was supposed to come in.
Well, that's the new system. That's why it gets cooler.
Hmm.
They call it a cold front, but it's technically not a cold front. It's just cooler than we have been.
Yeah.
Of course, I've been so busy online, it just taking care of our websites and stuff, and I've got a lot of other things brewing, and things I started and couldn't even finish because I was working on the websites. We had to get those done. So just, that's
well,
the way it is.
At least they got done. That's good.
See, when
one
I'm
thing down,
when I'm busy, Tower can't pick on me then.
Yeah, whatever. I'm never around.
You are around. What do you mean never around?
Well, sometimes.
Well, like the time you went out with your girlfriend for lunch? And I stayed here and slaved, me and the dog.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, at any rate, I'm going to do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Yep, there is another side. And we are in John. The very Christ. I really like that. That's just like... In John 7. And it says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. And, see, this does bring up a lot of issues here, like the Christians that are persecuted by people and they stay in the area. See, the Lord knew the Jews sought to kill him, so he didn't go near where the Jews were. He stayed out of there. And for a lot of the Christians in Muslim areas, the problem of it is they don't have anywhere to go. So they got to stay there. But if you have a way to get out or go somewhere, you need to do it. But it's really hard in today's world to just get out and get lost and get away from your enemy today. It seems like the world is so small. You know, we got satellites, we got planes, we've got trains, we've got cars, you know, we've got technology. The internet's connected the world and brought it together. It's hard to just go disappear so your enemies can't find you. But the Lord, in his day, he didn't have a car. He just walked. So he's walking in Galilee, and the Jews, of course, heard one or two, three times too many that he was the Son of God, and saw too many signs and wonders. They had to do something. And it says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That's the fall rejoicing. That's also a great time to celebrate all the feasts. I mean, all the harvest and everything. It's in the fall. And it's a type of the Lord coming and tabernacling, you know, during the millennium, you know, for... And he is coming as the greater son of David, and he's going to set up. Now, David was the warrior king. I said this many times, and Christ is coming back as the warrior king, the greater son of David, to sit on the throne, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. We will be there with him. And verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him, his brethren, being his family, his friends, his neighbors there. And of course, you know, this is otherwise known as, hey, you start a business, you need to advertise. So these are the advertising agents telling a guy that they're not very impressed with his business, you need to let everybody know what you're doing. If you're the Messiah, you need to get out there and go after it. Well, you know, the thing of it is, they weren't very well informed because he didn't go into the area of the Jews because they sought to kill him, you know. I mean, you know, you want to stay away from them. And, of course, he said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. In other words, they don't face the same thing. He doesn't do anything without being led of the Spirit of God. And he's, you know, the Father, is his constant companion and guide in all of this. And he says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. It could be getting close, but it's not fully come yet. Just like we say, the Lord is coming, but he isn't here yet. And the thing of it is that his brethren wouldn't have understood this, you know. Scripture doesn't say anything, but, you know, the world cannot hate you. Well, what would they think about that? What does he mean, the world cannot hate us? I mean, we've got friends all over the place. We don't have all the friends in the world, but we're not like him. I mean, you know. But, see, his brethren wasn't bringing up sin. Wasn't bringing up a lot of things, issues that the dyed-in-the-wool Jews and the Pharisees and the high priests were concerned about, the law, the Sabbath. And they castigated him on more than one time when he had healed on the Sabbath. Now, see, they could circumcise on the Sabbath in order to get a guy according to the law, but yet he couldn't heal on the Sabbath to make someone every bit as whole, and that whole thing would show the glory of God. And so this is, the Jews that, that they will swallow a camel, so to speak, but they'll choke on a little gnat, you know, the little issues. And this was a very little issue a lot of the times. Of course, when he started making himself equal to God or the Son of God or I knew God, I came from him and he identified. Oh, boy, that was more than enough for the Jews. Blasphemy, and they wanted him dead. And he says, "Go ye up to the feast." I'm not going up. But he says, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. And then it says, "But when his brethren were gone up, then he went also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret." And his brethren had stayed there, we don't know how long, but they decided to leave, so they were gone. And then he wanted to go by himself, not openly, as it were, in secret. And, you know, in these end of days, the Lord does talk a lot about a lot of these issues. Beware of men, for they shall deliver you up. He said those enemies will be those of your own household, you know, your family. Unless, of course, you're a good, godly Christian family, you know, you have a good chance of staying together in unity. But we are living in the last days, and we know the issues that we face here today politically. A lot of people have a lot of differences of opinion, even within families, and that divides. So the Lord said in these last days that, it'll be your mother, your brother, your father. The enemies will be those of your own household. Beware of men, for they shall deliver you up. Just don't go into a crowd of men, because they'll grab you and deliver you up. And, of course, a lot of the Christians living in Muslim areas know very well you stay away from that, because a lot of times they can get beaten up and killed. And we have testimonies of that. Of these things happened in Pakistan. There was a young little boy, he was only 5 years old, a group of Muslims. He was at a brick kiln working with his parents, and they asked him if he was a Christian. He said yes. They threw him alive into the brick kiln, and the kid was burned, of course, to death. It killed him. Then there was a couple of other, now these posts are on our websites, they're years old, him and his wife were accused of blaspheming Muhammad, and the imam had incited the crowd on a Friday, and they went out after him, found him at the brick kiln, beat him up, threw him in the brick kiln, and they got killed. They had kids. And we see this all the time. And of course, in verse 11, "Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceives the people." And of course, you are going to have that, unfortunately. But see, he did miracles and signs and wonders. And, you know, he's going to get, you know, miracles that nobody can deny. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. And the many other miracles at the Pool of Bethesda, that guy that had had an infirmity for all those years, several decades, and he couldn't get anybody put him in the water, and the Lord said, rise up and walk, and he did. And he did that on the Sabbath too. Howbeit, no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. These were the Jews in power. Because they would have, well, you know, and that's why Nicodemus came to him at night. Because, you know, the Sanhedrin and the other Pharisees, that, as well as the priests, and that came down from the chief priest, the high priest, the big mucky muck, you know, they would kick him out of the temple. And don't speak that name. Now see, after the Lord ascended and the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost, the apostles, Peter and the boys, were out preaching and stuff, and they were warned not to say anything. Thrown in jail, he was later released. Paul and, you know, and his group, they were warned the same way. And, you know, you get overseas and nothing's changed. You know, these Muslims don't want to hear you mention the name of Jesus. And don't mention the name. Why? Because if I hear it, I might convert. That's the real reason. They won't tell you that. But there's so much hatred. And verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Now that's after the fact, in verse 14, that during the feast he went up to the temple and was teaching, and as he was teaching, the Jews could not understand how he could just open the scroll and read and teach. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keepeth the law? Why you go about to kill me? Now, you see, the Jews thought they kept the law. But they had spent years of adding to it, adding to the original Torah. And, you know, that's why a better one needed to come. And that's what the Lord was bringing. Because, you know, by the law shall no flesh be justified. And, you know, and of course you see that today, self-promotion. You see people, you know, even people that are, you know, they call themselves the Christ. You know, we've reported on that several times. And I seen a post the other day. I was going through a bunch of posts in our database, and one of them was about a guy that actually he's dressed, he looked just like our concept of Jesus. I mean, he's from Russia, he was in white, had long hair. You know, matter of fact, the pictures you might have seen in history, you know, coming out of the 60s like I did, you know, this guy would have fit the bill. That's who you'd have thought. But see, that doesn't mean that's who he looks like. Those are artist conceptions. Yet, you know, this guy did this and followed this, and so the word got around, that's who he was. But see, you know, there was another one, I believe, over in Australia. We reported on him. There was one down in Florida. one of the things the Lord warned about was in these end of days that beware of all those false prophets. Those are going to come in His name. But see, the Lord didn't come in the name of Jesus. Of course, He wouldn't have done that. That's our English. In the Greek, it's Jesus, I-E-S-O-U-S. But He says, He that speaketh of Himself seeketh His own glory. But He's always talking about the Father. And He seeks the, you know, He always lifts up the Father. He says, I always do those things which He tells me. But the big slap in the face is for the Jews, for Him to tell them, you know. And we're talking Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. Paul himself even said, before he was converted, of course, you know, I mean, after he was converted, that he kept the law. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was just, he kept the very letter and jot and tittle of the law. Paul did. Yet he repented and saw the truth. And he later said that all the things that he did ignorantly. You know, it's about sin. It's not really about ignorance, folks. You know, ignorance, we can say, dear God, thank you for being ignorant. Thank you. Forgive me, Lord, for being ignorant or being stupid or whatever. But the Lord really just wants you to repent and seek His face and look to Him. And that's all Paul needed to do. Although he did everything ignorantly, including hauling away a lot of the church to persecution in his time, he just simply repented. And that's all God wanted. You know, there's a lot of people today that paint God as vengeful and hateful. They despise Him. Of course, the devil's behind it, and your flesh is behind it, because the flesh, and that's your whole body. Your mind is part of the fallen nature. Your body's part of the fallen nature. Your spirit is what God redeems. That's the war all the time. But see, all God wants is for you to repent and go to Him. And you have to ask yourself legitimately, why is it so hard for people to repent? Why is it so hard for them just to say, well, maybe it's the truth. Maybe I'll seek and find out. But see, the Lord answered it in John 3:16. You go down a few verses. And that's another thing I mention a lot. You know, He says, they're not going to come to Me because they love darkness better. You know, the deeds of the flesh. They're not going to believe in God. They're going to find ways not to believe in Him. And the Jews were going to find ways of not to accept Him. So no matter what He did, you know, they're going to get after Him, because number one, they have no intention of accepting Him, because, you know, the way it was set up, the Jews were able to have their temple, they were able to have their religion, they were able to have temple guards, and you know, the Jews were a force to be reckoned with, even in the Roman Empire. And the matter of fact, the apostles found that out. That's why by the time, you know, after several hundred years of the church, you know, by the time you get to Constantine, that's why the laws were set down to remove the Jewish portion out of the Christian faith, create new feasts and the whole nine yards, your own word of God, your own Bible, everything. Because they didn't want any connections, because there was so much bad blood, literally, between the Jews and the Christians. And of course, you can add to that, by that time, you add, about 1,000 years onto that, then you've got the Crusades and all of that. Anyway, it's a while after that. And of course, Christianity, which had grown by itself, and Judaism once wasn't really that big of a deal. Now today, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity are known as the three great faiths in Jerusalem, you know, that honor that city. So we have come, you know, if we as Christians stand up and declare Christ, you've got two other groups that's going to be opposed. See, this is going to be the problem in the last days. Now, we can back the Jews, and we can help them. But in the end, the Jews have got to accept the Messiah or not accept him. They've got a decision to make. And Paul talks about this in Romans. And he says God has not cast away the Jews by any means. But, Jesus talks in the Gospels that there's going to be a lot of wrath upon Israel and the Middle East, where Jerusalem is and the Jews will be. That this is the whole thing. When the times of the Gentiles, they'll come to an end. The Jews will come to believe in the Messiah. So this is, all of this started right here where we're studying. Through the Son of God. And the Son of God was opposed by Jews, his own people. John begins this whole thing by saying he went to his own received him not. I mean, this is a Messiah that's raising people from the dead. I mean, if you had, say your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter who was dead, and some guy came in and he raised him from the dead and told you he did it by the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, you'd believe him. But in this case, if you were living back then, and you were standing around watching him raise Lazarus from the dead, and you had been a skeptic, and you had done everything you could to oppose this Messiah. Yeah. And out comes this guy that was dead. Whew. You can't argue with that. You see, the kingdom of God is getting set up for earth right now as you and I are talking. Now, see, when Christ first talked about it, when he was going through the crucifixion and being, before the Roman judgment seat, they asked him if he was a king, and they asked him if his kingdom was of this world. He says, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight? Because he was going to go back to the Father. And when we look within Scripture, the kingdom of God is within us. That's what the Lord tells us. That's what we find. You know, we're full of the Spirit of God. Now, we are coming to a time, though, that God's habitation will be with men. And we also have a lot of other, I mean, whether you have faith or not, there's New Agers. There's all kinds of groups that are looking for the next ascension of mankind. There's those that are looking to technology to raise them to the next level. There's those that are looking at aliens as their bigger brothers to ascend to the proper status. The Muslims are looking for the reign of Muhammad and Allah on earth. The Jews are looking for the Messiah. The Christians are looking for the Son of God to come back again and establish the millennial reign of Christ. And folks, all this is coming together right now as you and I are talking. And one of these days, it's going to happen. And there's a lot of people that are going to be arguing, that are going to be hating, that are going to be killing, that are going to be murdering. And all of this began right here where we're teaching. Because he says, I testified of that it's that they're evil. That's why the world hates me. I testify. And Christian, today, whether you get out and you just preach, if you're following Christ, you know, and you look to him and you're in the word and you're trying to walk as he wants you to walk, your light is going to condemn them. They're going to hate you for who you are, right there. You don't even have to do anything. They'll just hate you and despise you. Because they don't like the Spirit. They disagree. And that's why the Lord said, unless the Lord would shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. This is where we're headed. Look at America right now. Look how divisive we are now. Look at how many murders and killings we have right now. Look what happened with ISIS, 2014, 2015, what they did to every Christian, and even the Jew, they even did it to the Muslims that didn't agree with it. ISIS didn't care who they were. They all took them all. Muslim, you had to become a Muslim like ISIS. And I can tell you that if you were a single Muslim and accepted them, you'd have to become a bride of one of their fighters. And if you was another, you know, a male, they would try to get you to fight on their side. If you was single, you definitely had to do it. And that's why when you got into Iraq, and a lot of the Sunnis automatically joined him, because, you know, it's better to join him than to fight him, they thought. So you can't underestimate what Christ was doing here. The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" Now this is what people are saying. It's just like, you know, especially in today's society. You're walking down the street. Let's say in the time of John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart and all those guys. And all of a sudden you looked up and you seen this one guy and you come up and said, "Are you John Wayne?" "Yes." "Are you really the very?" And of course you know by his stature that he is. And he, "Yes." But you see, John Wayne isn't Christ, neither is Jimmy Stewart, neither is Trump, neither is Nancy Pelosi. They are all in need of Christ. But see, these are Jews, the very Christ, not just any Messiah, not just any teacher, not just anyone who happens to be coming through here that has the propensity to gather followers, but this is the one who is prophesied to come. This is the one that is supposed to bring comfort to Israel. That's why we gave him that moniker, that handle, the Comforter, the Consolation, to console Israel, but a consolation. It's like when you run a race and you don't get a prize, but they give you a consolation prize to make you feel better. Well, the consolation is something, because Israel was sent into captivity, and of course they rose to the epic point of world triumph under Solomon, and then it was, you know, the judgment, because he fell away, was both, it was divided into two nations, Judah, the southern kingdom, and Israel, the northern kingdom. So you had 10 tribes that was northern, you had two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, that went south, and of course the Levites are not a tribe, but they are the ones appointed to run the tabernacle and the temple. So this is the thing. You know, but the very Christ. And they tie that in to say, "And howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Now see, this is another problem. And especially when you're dealing in prophecy is not going to tell you every fine point that there is for you to know. I mean, how many of us, when seeking the Lord or his will on matters, why don't you just draw a map or give me a picture or send me a letter with detailed instructions? Well, see, we say, well, you got the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God is in there, but we, in the Word of God, are to live by faith. And if God lined it up for you every step of the way and told you absolutely everything that was going to happen, every moment of every day, and he revealed himself to you, you know, where you can see him walking around, that's not living by faith. One of the things is, and that's the law of faith. Paul talks about that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now that verse is in Hebrews. But Paul does talk about the law of faith in Romans. You can look it up. Do a search for the law of faith. It's in Romans. It takes faith. And so when we're out to do something, you may not know. See, you know, the Jews, they wanted everything lined out. They wanted it to where they could never make a mistake. And see, and maybe in their efforts to be careful, they missed the Messiah. Because God calls your heart, you know, you're in your spirit. He moves you. And they really didn't know exactly where Christ would come from. And there are prophecies. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me and know where I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. Now see, he agrees with them. He says, you know me, you know where I came from, but he's not come of himself. And he says, he that sent me is true, which is the Father. And he says, you don't know the Father. Now for the Jews, who have always considered themselves to be righteous and holy because of the law, to know everything in God's book, oh boy, that's going to be hard to take. He says, but I know him. I know the Father. And I am from him, and he has sent me. Now see, again, some of them were saying this is the very Christ, the Messiah who comes from the Father. But see, he admitted, you know me. But see, he himself also came up with a very, very pertinent truth. A prophet is without honor in his own town, his own country. And, you know, if you're a prophet, if you're a teacher or, you know, whatever, a lot of times your family, those around you, those in your city, they won't believe you. Just the way it is. The Lord said it. The prophet is without honor. And in order, you know, you need to go somewhere where they don't know you. And let God use you and move through you. Then they'll believe on you. For the most part. But see, these Jews, they're standing around talking with this guy who says, I know the Father. You don't know the Father. I came from him. You know very well where I came from, where, you know, where I live around here. But you do not know yet. You do not know the Father, and I am from the Father. He sent me. I know him. And And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Well, when you're looking at miracles, you would ask that. I mean, there has to be a time when you see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and you listen to the teachings and you're stirred from the inside. Like Peter said, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of life. You know. He taught the apostles, but yet one of them was a devil. Why do some believe and some don't? Why does God send his only begotten Son to save the entire world? And his Son goes through all this, dies on the cross, resurrected from the dead, was seen alive by many infallible proofs and witnesses, left instructions from the church, and ascended to the right hand of the Father, is coming again. Yet today we have testimony of the appearances of the Lord, of Muslims getting saved, miracles and signs and wonders happening. And yet he says they're not all going to come to me because they all love darkness. This is the struggle. This is where we're at today. You don't like the evil around you. You don't like the darkness around you. You have to look to the Lord. You have to be focused. And with that, we're going to end this segment. We're coming down to the end of hour one, and we'll be back shortly with hour two. And we'll see you on the other side. It'll be probably about 3 minutes or four, but we will be back. Welcome. This is hour two.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, the 28th day of June, 2018, and you are listening to Warn Radio. And now I welcome back the Watchman for John's Gospel, Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 5.
Thank you, Tower.
You're welcome.
We are in verse 32 of John 7. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while am I with you, then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Now, of course, he has made known that his words are spirit and they are life. But when dealing with the practical aspects of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all their officers, they're not in this mode that he's in. They don't have any understanding. All they know is that he's causing trouble as far as they're concerned. Their power structure is threatened. Their authority is threatened. He goes around doing good, and yet they hate him. And there's a lot of issues here, especially the fact that prophecy tells us he went to his own and his own received him not. There's that deception on that, they just don't see it. And so the Jews said among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? Well, that argument didn't work anyway. Because the gospel did go among the Gentiles. And guess what? The Jews were all over the Roman kingdom. persecuting the Christians, going after the apostles. That's what they were doing. They followed Paul. They didn't follow him to Rome, however. But even in Rome, when he got up to Rome and was talking to the Jews up there, they said, well, they wanted to know what he thought about this way, which was the Christians, the believers. And they said, for we heard that it is evil spoken throughout the empire, throughout the world, I think they said. So the fact of it is that, you know, the Jews, when we talk about the Goyim, the nations, we're talking about unbelievers that don't keep the covenant, that don't believe in God, that don't keep the law. And the Jews have always considered them the ones, and even Paul talks about this, we Jews. Who kept the law. But see, when Christ came and he did talk to them, you know, there's that finer points. They got after the Lord because he healed on the Sabbath, but they didn't get after themselves when they circumcised on the Sabbath. So these were all the problems they had. So they can't figure out, where are you going? Well, he's going to heaven. And you're not going to come. Even if you die, you're not going to go where he's going unless you believe. So they wanted to know, what manner of saying is this? You shall seek me and shall not find me where I am, thither you cannot come. So their only answer was, well, you'd go to the Gentiles, because they don't want anything to do with the Gentiles. They have to put up the Gentiles every day in the form of the Roman authorities. And, you know, they have to live in a world within the Roman Empire that is greatly different than theirs. So, you know, there's no doubt that when you look at the Jews today, they, even today, they live among a world of Gentile nations. And Israel has a lot of enemies. And even among the sons of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac had the promise. Ishmael did not. Ishmael was after the flesh. Isaac was after the promise. Even among the two brothers, Ishmael and Isaac, there was an enmity. There was trouble. That has never gone away. So this is the feast now, in verse 37. In the last day of that great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, whenever we look at water and the type of water, we think of what the Lord does within us. Water is life-giving. Without water, you know, you can fast for a long time, but you can go without water pretty much only about 3 days. No source of water. You need water. Everything needs water. The earth needs water. I mean, everything needs water. But he is living water. You know, the water that we have, we drink it, and we can continue living physically. But he's talking about a living water on the inside that would sustain you, that would give you life. And it says here, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And he said he had to go away in order for the Spirit to come. And then on Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit of God happened. And see, this you know, there's a lot of spirits in the world. Everybody has not only your carnal spirit, but there are other spirits, you know, your regular spirit within you. Every human has that. But there are demons, there's spirits, familiar spirits, there are all these forces of darkness, and they can enter into people's bodies. They can bring diseases, they can bring possession, they can do a lot of things. They can bring depression, they can cause you to commit suicide. There's different types of them. And that's why you need to bring every thought into captivity and rebuke it and bind it and cast it down and bind that spirit behind it. This is a spiritual warfare. But see, as Christians, though, you just don't have any spirit. You have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God. You're not by yourself. You know? The Lord warned us about being, you know, taken before kings and authorities. And he said, it'll happen because of a testimony. That'll be your testimony. That's the testimony. So you testify. Paul had to appear before the authorities to testify of Christ. And that testimony, he said, do not worry about what you're going to say, for in that hour it shall be given you, and it won't be you that speaks, but the Spirit of God within you. Now you see, that's why we don't want to be so carnally minded, so worldly minded, we're no spiritually of any good to the Lord. We want to realize that there is this relationship in Christians, that when they received Him, John chapter 1, He gives us power to become the sons of God. John chapter 3, part of that process is being born again by the Spirit of God, which brings justification and sanctification. A lot of big theological words. You're not by yourself. And when we cover in the news about Christian persecution, what's happening with your brethren overseas, and we do cover things here in America too, but you know, we see this supernatural aspect as never before. See, now the Jews didn't understand that, but yet, in their own writings, they would have known about the prophets who the Spirit of God would come upon. The Spirit of God would come upon Samson to help him in delivering the children of Israel away from the Philistines, you know, and upon Elijah and Elisha and the other prophets. The Spirit of God would come. Now they knew the Lord and they were walking with Him, but yet their anointing, when they got ready to fulfill that office, that Spirit of the living God, that anointing from that Spirit in His presence would fall on them. Now see, today we can have His Spirit within us all the time. And there's also another anointing, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's what happened at Pentecost. But we do have His Spirit. And it's just like God has a lot of anointing. As a matter of fact, we can't contain it all. But see, this is who we are. Living waters within us. That which gives us life. The life of God. And that's what he was talking about. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ," but some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. And so, you always have that, and this reminds me many times of the aspect when we get into prophecy. And we have teachings, and that prophetic teaching becomes set in stone for many Bible teachers, when in fact it shouldn't be. And, you know, while Christ is coming again, there are aspects to Bible prophecy that we have taught within the Christian church for centuries that will not come to pass. And I've always said that whenever you get prophecy and what is going to happen down to an exact science, to where you know absolutely when everything's going to be and when it's going to happen, then you're in trouble, because it'll never work out that way. Now, you do have prophets that have the anointing, and when they stand up, they can say, "Thus saith the Lord." They give a sign, and that sign is fulfilled within a given time. But we got to be very careful when we talk about that, because indeed Christ did indeed come out of David. He's known as a greater son of David. And, of course, Matthew, in tracing the bloodline, actually traces the bloodline down in, you know, his, we call it the scarlet line of redemption. You'll find it in that, how it's very evident. And they count the generations. They tell you exactly where he came out of in order for prophecy. And, of course, the scripture is very careful about telling you about a lot of the prophecy. But there was division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" The answers said, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you deceived also? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Now see, they think it's because the Pharisees know the law and the people don't know the law and aren't keeping it, and they believe on him, so they're cursed, and they're going to believe on someone that they shouldn't believe on. That's what they're talking about. But see, the officers, when they went to pick this the Son of God up, Yahshua, Jesus, his authority, it wasn't, first of all, it wasn't his time. So here they are, you know, they don't even touch him because, you know, wow. What if he is? I don't want to be responsible for locking up the Son of God. You know, if this guy is who he says he is, man, I'm going to go back. If the Pharisees want to lock him up, let them lock him up, which they ended up doing. They found a deceiver within the ranks of the Lord, and Judas met his destiny. And of course, his destiny, the way it is, works out to where it has a lot to say about if you are destined to do something. Now see, Judas could have at any time refused. But see, he was a thief in his heart. The Lord even talked about that, that he was a thief. And, you know, he was motivated by money and a lot of other things. And there are some that believe that Judas himself did indeed believe that Jesus was a leader and the Messiah, but he believed that he had to raise an army, that it had to be physical in order to defeat the Romans. And he felt that if, and this is what people
common belief that he had turned against the Lord in order to get the Lord to stand up and use his power so he wouldn't die, because he wanted him to be the leader physically of a rebellion and establish the kingdom now. But see, when he comes, he's coming with a two-edged sword. That's what we see in Revelation, which in Revelation we see him as you would see him in the spirit, because these are spirit revelations. You see this in the spirit world. And, you know, he's just going to speak it. He isn't going to go down there with a sword and physically defeat the Antichrist. He's just going to... He'll say the word and he'll be bound. It'll be just like that. I mean, you know, if coming again, I mean, Muhammad, you know, has his followers going around killing, raping, and pillaging around the world. And, you know, that's the way Muhammad needs to do it for his God. Yeah, we got to kill everybody and physically defeat the earth in order to bring in Islam. Christ ain't going to do that. He's going to come in and just say the word, and they'll be bound and tossed down. There will be a plague and a curse against them, and they will die instantly. That's who you serve. And if you listen to our news shows, you can go a few episodes back, you'll find a lot of these kind of miracles that we've been talking about. I mean, the Lord could kill everybody tomorrow. You know, I mean, he's not going to, but, you know, he could have done that in the beginning, you know, when him and the Lord were discussing it. Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. The world was made by him, and his own people didn't even recognize him. But he was in the beginning with God. And they could have easily sat around and said, well, you know, what do you think? Well, you know, why should we mess with it? We made all this. You know, if man sins, let's just destroy everything, begin again, and create a man that is not going to be given the choice. But God is a God of love, and he's a God of justice and judgment, and he couldn't. And he wanted men to have free choice, and he wanted them to serve him because they want to serve him. And that's why in Revelation 22, see, in Genesis begins in the beginning, and Revelation is the end. And Revelation ends with the Lord saying, he that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. See, he gives you a choice. It's always been a choice. He says, for I come quickly, and I'll give every man a reward according as the work shall be. Whatever your reward is. This is a reward for wickedness. This is a reward for righteousness. Now, which reward do you want? Now, see, that's the way it's always been. And he wasn't going to come in and just force the Pharisees. They had to make up their own mind. But see, the common people, you know, they weren't sitting in the lap of luxury like a lot of these Pharisees were. They had money. They had, you know, well known. And of course, the Lord revealed that a lot of them were doing the things that they were doing to be seen of men, to be thought that they were righteous and holy. This is what the battle was. The Lord read their hearts. He read right through that. So he said, the people that don't know the law, they're the ones that are cursed. And that's why he said, have any of the rulers, the Pharisees, believed on him? Of course not. Why? Because they've got power. Their power is threatened. They have everything a heart could wish, practically. Yeah, this is just some pompous upstart trying to muscle in. They're not going to believe no matter what you do. But see, God gave them a choice. But yet the Lord came with signs and wonders, and they still didn't believe. They still choked over the law. Well, you healed on the Sabbath. Give me a break. The Lord is the one that created the Sabbath, and he created it for man. He didn't make man you know, the underling of the Sabbath. I am Sabbath, I sit here, and I will rule men, and I will hit you over the head if you don't honor me, you know. See, because the one royal law is love. Now, see, our Sabbath begins Saturday night. But I'm not keeping the Sabbath to be justified. I'm justified by grace through faith. By grace, which comes out of God's mercy, and all that flows out of His love. And the vehicle is faith, because I believe. And just as Abraham, when he believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake, when we as Christians receive the Lord in our heart, saying, yes, Lord, we believe, there's that power, and it's imputed unto us. We become born again through the Spirit, and we are justified by faith because we believe. The Pharisees couldn't grip that. People today still have a hard time. So here comes Nicodemus in verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he's listening to everything. He says, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, he says, does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Well, no. The law says, let every word be confirmed with the mouth of two or three witnesses. And he's already told him his witnesses. He said his father is a witness, and the works he does is a witness. And he says, I don't bear witness of myself, but even if I was to bear witness, my witness and testimony would be true. And he says, I do not need man to bear witness of me. It had to come from the Father. That's the top power. That is the one who sent him. But see, the Jews really didn't want to deal with that aspect of it. They didn't want to hear him. The Lord had pointed it out in plain speak. He says, you judge me because I healed on the Sabbath, but yet you broke the Sabbath too by having circumcision. But see, the Lord did it out of love. Love is the royal law. That fulfills the law every time. That's why the Lord said, love one another. For by this shall they know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. And that's exactly why, when we read in the Gospels, exactly how, you know, his lineage was. But the fact of it is, you know, Joseph and Mary, they had to move around. Well, the big issue here is they don't have a way to keep this guy quiet. Because the people are believing on him. He has an answer for everything. He continues to minister. People follow him. He raises people from the dead. He says he's of God. He says God's his father. No matter what they do. See, and this is where that image of a effeminate Jesus, some of these moronic directors and producers have actually made movies where Jesus is some, you know, he looks like some overhyped, hormonal, estrogen-type male that is effeminate, and apologizes, and they show Satan as this big, strong He-Man guy, totally disrespecting the whole issue here. I mean, I'm telling you, if you read the Gospels and see somebody effeminate, you're not reading it right. This is someone that met the toughest at the time. head on, talking to him. They sought out to kill him. He raised people from the dead. He met them. He talked issues. He told them. He called them snakes, vipers. You're cursed if you don't believe that I am he. He did not come out and say, oh, pretty please, will you believe on me? Give me a break. If you think your Lord is that, you're serving the wrong God, because I've got news for you. He ain't going to come back and say, will you please believe in me now? He's already been to the cross. He's already laid down the testimony. He's got believers out there right there today around the world who believe, and signs and wonders are following him. He's coming back in glory and power. And when he comes, his enemies are going to be thrown under his feet. And if you think there's going to be any apologies, you're crazy. He is coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's given you a chance. One day grace will end. You will have no other place for you to turn for forgiveness, because you have rejected what he has done. He looked him in the eye. Then after he got done, he picked up a whip and he whipped the money changers and overturned the tables and chased them out of the temple. Now that ain't no weakling, and that ain't no wimp. So you need to get out of your little mamby-pamby, candy-coated, Jesus-freaky churches that aren't biblical and scriptural, and get into that where there's authority, there's power, there's vibrancy, and there's holiness, and there's truth in the Word of God. We're not motivated by anything other than the fact that Christ loved us, His Spirit is within us, and we've got His Word. And I got news for you. The Jews, Paul too, they knew the original languages. They didn't even recognize the Son of God. Paul didn't recognize him until the end, when the Lord was already ascended and Paul was trying to destroy the church and on his way to Damascus. But Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the letters. He'd studied under Gamaliel. He knew the words in the original. He knew the law, yet he did not know the Messiah. And we've got people today that know Aramaic, and they don't know Hebrew, and they know Greek, and they can get into the Word of God, and they can do this, but they do not know the Son of God at all. They are not redeemed. They're heretical teachers. They're hirelings, and they're in the church. And I heard one today, and he was a black man. I'll tell you, some of these black preachers need to get wakened, you know, awake. Because many of them still rest on their merits of being black, and their roots go back to slavery, and they think that's going to have a gate wide open for them in heaven. But in this case, it ain't going to help you at all, baby. I'm sorry. He says, if you think some of these white evangelical preachers are going to be in heaven, that's not true. And he says, if they are, I'm going to take my chances in hell. Well, I hope that works out for you, buddy. Anybody that gets into the Word, and what kind, do you think that the devil's down there with sugar-coated candy and, you know, has a nice table set up and say, welcome to hell, I'm the boss, I'm going to treat you nice. Good grief. That's this phoniness in the world today. And I'm trying to show you, trying to relate to you, the urgency of the hour, the fervency of the Word of God, and the truth of the Son of God. And get your eyes on the true Son of God. And there's a lot of other issues. Well, is he Jewish? What color is he? What is this and what is that? Who cares? You believe on the Son of God. He's glorified. He radiates more than 10,000 suns. And you want to know whatever his roots are, whatever his flesh is, or whatever. And that's why you've got the black Madonna, you've got the black Christ, you've got all these others, because everybody's in the act now. Oh, it can't be a white Jesus, and it can't be a black Jesus, and it can't be this Jesus, and it can't be that, and it can't be, oh dear God, give me strength. Get off this foolishness. Get into the Word of God. Repent and seek the Lord. That's all you need to know, because our God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And his son who came, yeah, he was a Jewish Messiah. That's the way it is. You don't like Jews, I don't know what to tell you. Dear God in heaven, the Messiah was Jewish. God picked the Jewish Hebrews, actually. We get all these ideas. I don't care. Dear God, just get me to heaven. The former thing's going to be past, kids. You're going to be glorified. Oh, and by the way, you men and you women, get off the fact about your spouses. Of course they're not perfect. When you get in heaven, they're going to be perfect. And you're not going to be married. You're going to be redeemed saints. You will know each other. Oh, dear God in heaven, give us strength. And that's why all this hatred we see in America just, it eats at Christianity and the truth. I mean, but it's a part of the judgment of God, I can guarantee you that. Let's get in John chapter 8. Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came down into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now this is the biggest piece of hypocritical nonsense in Scripture today. You know, people try to use this saying, well, see, he didn't condemn adultery, so he's not going to condemn all the other things. This issue has nothing to do with condemnation at all. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees knew who this woman was. She had been doing it all along. Don't you find it really amazing that all of a sudden they found a woman in all the city that was taken in adultery? Didn't you ever think, well, in the very act, yeah, they saw her go in there. They had plotted and planned. They were good at it. The Lord saw through it. The scribes and the Pharisees planned on evil against the woman. And even in their evil heart, if they were truly full of love, they had approached it a different way. But see, they want to trip up the Lord. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Well, if we're going to use the commandments in the laws that says about the penalties, maybe we ought to do something to you who circumcised some guy on the Sabbath. Because that's work. Matter of fact, a number of years ago, there was Jews in a high-rise down in Florida that wanted some new technology that just had to go in and speak the word, and the elevator would go up and down. And they said, well, we can't use the elevator because if we push the button, that's work. I mean, that's what was in the article. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Push the button, that's not work. I've had work, but that ain't work. But at any rate, see, this is the law where you're willing to swallow a whole camel, which would represent the sin and the blasphemy and everything else, but you will choke on a gnat, the little smallest point in the law, that because there's no mercy and love associated with it. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Now you see, first of all, Jesus, Yeshua, was God. Fully God and fully man. And the scripture says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He can't be tempted, but you don't even try. You know, You get pompous in your sin, shaking your fists at God. Declaring what you're going to do to God or what He's like. You know, don't tempt God. He might take you up on it and end up smashing you flat. Because you're breaking the law. Dear God in heaven. So his finger, he's writing on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking them, he lifted up himself and said unto him, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. So he went back down and wrote on the ground again. Well, you know, the Lord tells us about the Holy Spirit, that he'll give us the testimony and words to speak that our enemy will not be able to gainsay nor resist. For it's not you that speaketh, but the Spirit of God within you. Don't get in the flesh, get in the Spirit. Now, the thing I like about this, the common idea here is as you grow older, you get wiser. That's what's supposed to happen. But when I see the likes of Maxine Waters, and she's, I don't know how old she is, 80-some or 80, and some of the nonsense she does, I begin to wonder where the wisdom is in some of these old people. But see, that's the general thing that we think, okay? The early Indians and a lot of early tribes used to honor the elderly and those who were aged because they had wisdom. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, now of course this is the key here, they did have consciences because he hit them in an area that he knew that they... Because he could discern this. He knew this. The scripture says he knew what was in man. Because he knew man. So he knew what was in their hearts. He knew what they had been hiding. He knew everything. He could have sat there and called them all out and told them what they were doing wrong. So after they, which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. See? These Jews, the eldest ones, the one with the age, oh boy, they knew. You know, you're getting kind of old there, buddy. You better be careful. Because, you know, I mean, you're not like you're young, so you have a lot of years to waste and be rebellious. You know, as you grow older, you don't have that much time. You never know. Never know the day or the hour. So when he hit him with that, he could have said, well, you know, you have this problem here. You did this the other day, but he didn't. Their conscience. There's a lot with that conscience. You know, my dad used to tell me about the conscience, that God gave us a conscience. You have the Word of God that guides you, but God also put a conscience in man. And that conscience will tell you when you're doing things not right. It will, unless your conscience is seared. Or if you're raised up as a child to do wrong right from the start, which is what we see in a lot of areas. You know, Hitler tried to take the youth and train them, burning their conscience against what he was doing. ISIS did the same way. Over in the Palestinians, you know, Arafat used to teach the children blood hatred against the Jews. The scripture itself says, train up a child in the way that he ought to go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's what we're, as Christians and believers, should be doing to our children, training them up in the way that they should go, because they're not going to depart when they get older. The devil knows this too. That's why you see this same tactic used, and they will take the kids. And that's why you've had for generations now in our schools, training children not to believe in the God of the Christians, to believe in other gods. Not to just believe in a family, a man and a woman, to believe in anything. And see, we have seen generations of anti-God lawlessness in our schools, defiling the children. So by the time they get at a certain age, you've already lost them. So here you are, the eldest. They're leaving now because they realize that they're a sinner, that they can't be doing that. I'm going to leave this woman alone. I can't speak. Even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now see, this is very, very important. The key here, he's not going to condemn. You know, the scripture says right after John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, that's trust in, rely on, and cling to, should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might believe. John 3:17. He doesn't condemn them, but he does invite them. And in that same context of John 3:16 through about five verses or so, the Lord tells us in that they're not going to come, as I've said before. And I'll repeat it again, because they love darkness more than light. The key here, he's not going to condemn her, but he says, go and sin no more. Don't sin anymore, woman. Don't commit it again. Just be done. Because here, he's given her mercy. She doesn't deserve mercy. But see, he's making a statement. Verse 12, this is the statement. This is why he told her this. This was a lesson for all those around. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He wants to be and is that light of truth. So when you follow him, you'll be led out of the darkness and the captivity of the devil, and you will have that light, but that light will be the light of life. Because even the devil can appear as an angel of light. It's not just an angel of light. It's the light of life. That which burns within your spirit. It's not just a radiating light. It's life within you. The light of life. Because it is that life that he gives you that causes the light. It comes out. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto him, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Now see, while we say he emptied himself, he was in the beginning with God and he was God. But he was born of the flesh, but yet he was also of God. Fully God, fully man. God incarnate, God in the flesh. He can truthfully say where he came from because he knew it. That flesh was the shell, and the spirit that was within it was him, God. I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you can't tell me where I come and where I go. You can't tell me. He says, You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. And I told you that earlier, that It's actually the two or three witnesses. But at any rate, I am the one that bears witness of myself. And the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Now, we also talked earlier that the works I do, they do reveal who I am. But see, these Pharisees have seen, these people have seen ongoing miracles. They have talked with him about this before. The Pharisees in the law challenging him. Then they said unto him, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also." These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Now they wanted to take him, but see, his hour had not come yet. If God says your hour hasn't come, your enemies ain't going to touch you. And the Lord's time hasn't come. He knew that through the Spirit again. Paul also knew that. He knew that he had to go to Rome. We covered that in Acts. And the Spirit of God testified all the way. Then Jesus said unto them, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself because he said, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" Because they naturally assume they're going to go to heaven, and if you kill yourself, it's a cardinal sin. And you're going to wind up in hell, and they're not going to be there, of course. That's what they're thinking. Because they don't see themselves as sinners. They don't see themselves as stubborn. They don't see this at all. And he said unto them, "You are from beneath, I am above. You are of the world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Now that's as plain as you can get. And today, as Christians, we bear witness to who Christ is and what he did. And that's why I say that, and Scripture bears it out, that there's no reason for people to go to hell today. No reason for you to die in your sins today. Because Christ made a way for you. He's not condemning you now. He's telling you to repent and come to him now so you can walk in the light and be free. But as he said, they won't come because they like darkness more than light. They won't believe. They won't receive him. Then they said unto him, "Who art thou?" Jesus said unto them, "Even that same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now this connects you absolutely, the Son with the Father. And so, this is some of the best they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand at all. They didn't know. But I tell people today, unless you believe, that he is the Son of God and the Messiah. Unless you receive him, you will die in your sins. Now see, a lot of the churches, they won't just tell you that. And I'm not telling you that you need to tell everybody that. Now Jude has a nice little breakdown on some of the ways to bring a witness and a testimony to people. The bottom line of it is that we want people to find this wonderful gift, to know him. But we can't make him. We can't force him. I had to receive him myself. Tower had to do the same thing. My children have to make, you know, they made their decision. They carry on their faith. I don't do it for them. There is a God and there is your Lord who is calling you. And John is that testimony of who he is. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Reveal your Son to those listening through this series, Lord. Let them know you. Unharden the hearts. Soothe the consciences and heal them. Reveal to them who you are, in Jesus' name. Father, let them know you. In Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and the receiving of this word, in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, boy, that's mighty. I love this.
So do I.
You just think how amazing the Lord is.
And you notice, again, it wasn't some namby-pamby preacher. He just told him, unless you believe that I am he. He's not saying, unless you believe I am he. You know, he's... Unless you believe, he had authority. They marveled at his authority.
Yeah, yeah.
They marveled at his authority to teach the letters. They marveled at the miracles. This isn't just some you know, guy that came across the border or flew in on a plane or whatever, you know, graduated from some Bible school. This is... You know, his
the
doctor
son
was
of the living God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep. So at any rate, tomorrow night we'll be here with Hebrews.
On Sound of Shofar.
And these are really good series because both of them we delve into the Messiah. Tomorrow night we'll be talking more from the Hebrew, and that's what Paul was writing to the Hebrews. So, at any rate, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. May God bless you richly as you seek Him. We love you. We pray for you. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio. The Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.